a season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores! Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman! Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman!
Still alive, Dylan Tate tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal! Orfield! Oh, he's back! The king is back! Scott Arfield! What a small kick return!
Champions again, ole ole. Champions again, ole ole. That is filtering into the distance now. As Falkirk Daft is back for a new season. Well, it's not really back. This is a kind of special mid-course season podcast where we're here to catch up, tell you about a few things, dip our toe in the latest club news. You know, new signings are happening, pre-season friendlies are happening. And we're going to be speaking to a man who knows a little bit about football, Brad Spencer's dad, Mr. John Spencer. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. Like I say, we're back, but not really back. Hello, hope your course season is going well. I am John McAnally, and join with me as ever, he's not gone anywhere, I've not gone anywhere, it's the Ginger God of Pod himself, it is Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. I am back, ready for it. I know we're not back, we're just back.
It's just a kind of pretendy back, isn't it? We're just like, we're bored. I know, I'm sure everyone's going through it as well. Just bored without the football. Honestly, like on Saturdays, I'm like, what am I doing?
I'm so glad that it's coming back this Saturday as well. I know it's only the Stirlingshire Cup, yeah. But it's a really nice trophy and I want us to win it again.
It is, but it's a really weird tournament. It's like a wee bit like a charity tournament that you turn up to. 60-minute matches, three matches. I'm sure the prestige will come back when we get to the later rounds.
I think they get more local teams in, right? And they turn it into like a
tennis.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. But hopefully, we'll go on to win it again. But yeah, that's happening at the stadium this Saturday. But we've got plenty more to talk about before we speak to our special guest, John Spencer, about his son Brad, about his football career, and Falkirk just in general. Ross, how's your holidays been so far? Well, you've not really been on holidays, have you?
No, not really. I don't think you've been away either, have you?
Yeah, I've not been there.
So yeah, I've got a bit of time off coming in July, which will be good. But yeah, it's just been working, to be honest, and family stuff and all the usual. I've had a couple of Friday nights at the pub, which has been good. And that there's been Bairns fans in the pub, so that's been nice to chat to them as well.
I know, yeah. You're still talking about, I mean, obviously I work in Super Scoreboard, so I'm always talking about football. Super Scoreboard doesn't stop. Get us on Clyde 1, 6 till 7 during the course season every night. So it's just constant talk about football and try to find something to talk about as well. But there's a lot going on. Obviously a lot going on in Falkirk, which we'll discuss in just a minute. But a few points of order before we get to the club from a Falkirk Daft point of view. And first and foremost, we must address the fact that Falkirk Daft Select are taking on the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, the TH, this Sunday at the Falkirk Stadium.
Yes, I am very much looking forward to this again. Last year was a brilliant laugh. We raised loads of money for charity, and this is going to be the same again. So I know we've shared the link a number of times on social media, but even if you've got just a quid or two to spare, it would be much appreciated. And we are raising money for Maggie's Fourth Valley, which is over at Larbert, a tremendous facility for families and those in getting care as well. So brilliant, really looking forward to it. We've got our lineup pretty much nailed on. In fact, by the time this goes out, the guys will know, and we'll have shared our starting 11 in the squad as well on social media. So yeah, really, really looking forward to it. It's all set up.
Yeah, a couple of Falkirk Daft listeners are joining us on the pitch. Ross is in the dugout this year. He stepped out of the sticks and into the dugout, assisted by Brian Flynn of Behind the Wall fame. He'll be there. A couple of well-kent faces on the pitch as well are illustrious leader and CEO Jamie Swinney will be playing. Sean Elderbrandt will be playing, as well as Drew from Falkirk TV. The commercial guys, Paddy and Lewis, are going to be in the team as well. Chris McGill, we're not too sure about his injury, but he has sensationally joined the Falkirk Daft backroom staff after playing for the football fans in training last season. So Chris has joined us. Hopefully we'll get some minutes from him. And a couple of very special guests we've got playing for us. The one, the only, Liam Craig has returned. Falkirk boy, born and bred, played for us last season, absolutely bossed it. And legend himself, he's up in the stadium. Sam McGivern, Super Sam, is signed up for Falkirk Daft.
He is. And I had a very surreal conversation with him because I'm thinking when we got Sam signed up, I'm like, right, bro, that's the strike. That's the striker sorted. But no, the wee man wants to play in goals. So so Super Sam may not score on Sunday. Well, if we get a pen, surely we have to let him take it.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got to go up front at some point. He's got to go up top at some point. We'll convince him, I'm sure. I've made some audacious signing. Unfortunately, Stephen Purden can't make it because he's got a live show with Grado. I tried to get Grado as well, but they've got the live show. Kevin McAllister, I thought I'll drop Crunchy a text, see if we can get him officially retired. He says he's not coming back. So that was a shame. And then just down there, I was working with Scott Allen tonight. I said, Scotty, fancy a game on Sunday? He was away to a tie beater for his stag do. So that's what happened. But it was an audacious attempt anyway.
It was, and we should share because he was very much up for it if he didn't have a family do. But we had spoke to Stephen McGinn, and unfortunately he wasn't able to play due to a family commitment that he's got this weekend. But it's brilliant, because we've not talked about it, it's brilliant to see Stephen back at the football club as
Delighted when I heard that news over the course of the season, Stephen's returning. We had him at the end of the season Falkirk Daft live event, and he's just great. You just think, what a great guy to have around the club and in the dressing room as well. So unfortunately Stephen can't play us. But listen, if you fancy coming down and watching middle-aged men trying to play football, I'm sure it'll be an absolute spectacle. Maybe you're missing the football that much, you think might as well go down and see these bunch of numpties play. 4 o'clock at the stadium is the kickoff. Hopefully we'll have some buckets for Maggie's as well on the day. And if, like Ross says, you want to donate to us, that would be really appreciated. Check out the Just Giving page, which is in our socials right now. We talked about Falkirk Daft live event there, Ross. We thought, hell, let's just do a pre-season premiership party. So we're doing that at Behind the Wall very soon.
We are indeed, yes. Friday the 25th of July. As you said, a wee premiership preview party. The guests will once again be phenomenal. We'll announce those very, very soon. But we're really looking forward to it. And those tickets, 220 tickets, I think was our capacity last time. Those will go on sale next Friday, which is the Friday the 27th of June at 9 a.m. And if the last few times has been any indication, please do get on to the link that we share very, very quickly if you intend to go. It was about 15, 20 minutes last time when it sold out. So
that's just because you had put the pre-sale out to most of
the folks. That's a myth, John. I friends and family, close friends and family. that is a myth.
I picture your family. It's like a Fife family you've got around Falkirk, clearly, in that case.
Listen, I'm not responsible for if anyone shares a pre-link onward. But we will really looking forward to it. And that's the weekend before the opener. Now, obviously, as this stands just now, we don't know who we're playing that weekend. The first weekend in the Premiership. But we do know we are. Our Falkirk Daft live night is the night before we play the Spartans in the last home game in the League Cup.
Of course, it would have made more sense to do it the night before the opening game, but I'm down at Oasis in Wembley, so we've had to do it the weekend before. But listen, it's something to look forward to, so get involved. Keep an eye on our socials for the ticket link. One guest has confirmed, Ross, the other guest that we talked about can't make it, but I will confirm which is which. Later, we'll think of another one. Don't worry, Jamie Swinney's going to be along on the night as well to talk all things Falkirk, look back at last season, look forward to the season, and answer any questions you might have as well. So really looking forward to that conversation happening behind the wall once again, and we all know what a riot it can be. We'll have a few things up our sleeves as well, I suddenly suspect. Let's go to Birthday Corner though. I missed this. No birthdays though, Ross, have we? We've got a couple of bairns though.
Couple of Bairns ones, yes. Obviously, we've not been about to kind of request any birthdays, but we will, and in advance of our next proper podcast, we will come out in the socials a few days beforehand and get some birthdays. But yes, there are two big birthdays today on Wednesday, the 18th of June. The first of which was actually a bit of a hero of mine in the early 90s, Mr. Kevin Drinkle, who's 65 today.
I think he still works at a car garage in Falkirk. Am I making that up?
No, I think you're right. I think he used to work. I don't know whether he still does. I think he used to work for
John Arweir.
Whether he's still there, I'm not sure. But he certainly
he might be retired now at the age of 65. To be fair to Kevin,
he could well be. Big shout out to Kevin. Hope he's had a good birthday. I'm sure he's had a couple of drinks and a couple of fags if he's still smoking. happy 30th birthday as well to Scott Mercer.
Mercer, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's I'm not sure I can say he was a hero of mine. But happy birthday to Scott, nevertheless. I think the last I saw, he was playing at East Fife, I think he was. Don't know if he's still there, but yeah, happy birthday to Scott Mercer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Before we get into talking about some of the news from the Cup, I've got to say thanks, of course, for the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. We just talked about them there. We're playing them this Sunday at the stadium. If you want to get involved and maybe be involved in the game next season, Monday at the stadium, 8 to 9, Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. Got Super Vets football thing happening on a Friday between 5 and 6, and that's for over 50s, 8 aside. Just if you want to get off the couch, feel you're not up to, you know, getting involved with the boys on a Monday or a Tuesday, always Super Vets. They want to say a big thank you. Obviously, it happened just at the end of the season there. The Lava Cup tournament, it was the second time at the Falkirk Stadium. Ross, we got down to it. It was a great day.
It was a really, really good occasion. Hundreds of players, great crowd on the day as well. You and I were obviously there for about 90 minutes and we managed to witness two red cards in that time as well. And it wasn't even for two players playing.
Yes. And there was let's name and shame. I'm buggering it. Stevie Hogan, who is also the match commander at Falkirk, or one of the match commanders at Falkirk, is also a referee. And just brandishing red cards left, right and centre, and he is actually playing for the Falkirk Daft team on Sunday. I've got a funny feeling on the TH side a couple will be sharpening their studs.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting, and when I name the team in about 90 minutes time, I'm sure that will be a topic of conversation as well. So really, really good, phenomenal set up that the guys have done there for the Lava Cup. Obviously, I know with our pitch situation, I don't know what the details will be like for 2026, but a phenomenal piece of business for the guys, and loads of money raised for charities as well.
Yeah, £3,800 was raised, and that's going to Maggie's Forth Valley and Andy's Man Club. That's getting split up. The cup was actually won by Lingley Bold Club from Denmark. I've seen them in action. They were very good, as were Nottingham Forest when I watched them as well.
Forest did well.
Falkirk didn't make the final like last year, but they had a lot of nights out afterwards, obviously, and we're up at Behind the Wall. Getting involved in the Falkirk Daft Venoms, which are still available, of course, and the T8 squad would like to thank all the following people who contributed to the tournament. Behind the Wall, Falkirk FC and the Foundation, Elite Central Travel, Big John Murphy over there, EPS for the first aid cover, the Central Football Academy and the Boy Balls, I think that's maybe Ball Boys in my script, and Chunky Monkey, who's down doing the photography on there, and there was loads of volunteers. Shout out to Ali always involved in these things, and managed to sell me a Lava Cup mug as well, which is now my work mug. So yeah, thanks to everyone that was involved with Lava Cup, and thanks obviously once again to the Football Fans and Training who sponsored this podcast, and they're back again for next season. So thanks to Ian, Willie and Dougie. Get in touch if you fancy getting involved. All the links are below, as we say in the podcast business. Right, let's get into the Cup news now, though, Ross. I can't believe it's like 5 weeks since our last podcast, and there's a hell of a lot has happened in that time. So we start at the start, I think, and obviously that is the season tickets went on sale, and absolutely phenomenal record numbers sold.
It is. It's I'm still in shock. I'm not shocked that we've sold this many, because it's like we've done so well. We deserve the crowds. But I have never, ever, ever seen over 5,600 Falkirk fans with a season ticket.
Brilliant.
I just think it's phenomenal. And what a sight that's going to be at every home game, because you're going to have a full Kevin McAllister stand, a full main stand, and at least half of the normal North stand will have Falkirk fans in it as well, and regardless of who we're playing as well. So that's the big important thing. It doesn't matter whether it's Livingston with their three folk or Rangers with their 700 or 800, whatever they get given. It will be brilliant to see three sides of the stadium, as we saw many times in the last couple of years. And shout out to every single fan that's been able to do it. And it's great that there's a few hundred that won't be sold regardless, to people who are not able to commit to a season ticket, and they're going to pay as they go. So that's really important that those are there as well. And the pricing, like I don't know if we recorded before or after the season tickets prices were announced, but Fair Play does that really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It works out, I think we've got the early bird, I think it works out at £17 a game, which is phenomenal for a Scottish Premiership side.
Yeah, it really is. And you'll be, what, 25? I think it was 25 as the pay at the gate figure, I think I saw. So
right, yeah.
A good reduction there for season tickets. And I think I saw this in the latest board update too, which was a brilliant put-together communication. It's going to help Falkirk fans, because the away games next year will be quite expensive. We know that the tickets are going to range from probably £25, £26, maybe up to mid £30 and upwards, depending on where we're playing. So, yeah, every little helps us. A famous supermarket that we opened would say.
Yeah, and I've got, I think the season tickets, brilliant to see. But I think the big news, and I think every Falkirk supporter, and I certainly know, reading from the communication for the clubs from Jamie, with loads of relaunch of the Falkirk Academy, which is, you know, we've had a bean or bonnet about it, obviously, since it was disbanded under Paul Hartley's regime. And, you know, when you look at the alumni from the Falkirk Academy, we've got one back at the club just now who's just renewed his contract as well.
So far, there is rumours that there might be another one coming back.
Are you talking Mr. Money Wallace, are you?
I'm not. I'm talking about a vendor. There's a strong rumour. Granted, it's not came from anyone official. However, there's a strong rumour going around that Stephen Kingsley might be leaving Hearts.
Oh, now that's an interest. That would certainly be an interest in signing, bringing Stephen Kingsley. But, you know, we've seen the players that have come through the academy over the years, and I think it's just brilliant that we put the money back into it. You know, it could easily have went into playing budgets, but, you know, it's great that the club have went, no, we need to get back to what Falkirk was before. And hats off to the board, hats off to the decision makers for making that decision. And it just makes you proud that it's coming back. And hopefully we can see a conveyor belt of talent coming back through the academy and into the first team. Because it's really sad that there's local boys, you know, when you look at it, you know, you see players that have done really, really well after the academy is disbanded and have went on to, you know, big clubs. And there's local boys that have missed out, Falkirk supporters that have maybe missed out on the chance to go to the academy. Just through its disbandment, and you know, they've went to Dundee United, St Johnstone's, teams like that, because there's nothing local. The fact we've got it back, we're starting up from the groundwork. Tony Begg is going to has had a very busy summer. And I've heard through my friend his son's a very good player, and he actually ended up signing for St Johnstone, because it's, you know, if it had been a year later, he might have been in the Falkirk Academy. But he's saying the coaches they brought in are exceptional. I think it's Blair Munn. I don't know if this has been confirmed by the club yet. I saw that he left East Kilbride. I've heard Cameron Blues as well, as he's a pro performance coach as well, and might be involved. But these are all the kind of names that we're hearing, and apparently the coaches are excellent that are going in there. And I think what's helped as well, I think with the Queen's Park obviously making their cost cutting and abandoning their academy as well, I've heard that there's a few boys from Queen's Park signing up for the academy, so that gives them a launch pad at least to get going as well. So yeah, lots of exciting stuff happening with the academy, and we just can't wait to see products coming through it and into the first team, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and it'll be great to hear and see the updates that will come through. As you say, Tony's probably been a really busy guy putting his team together. You mentioned a couple of names there, which I wasn't aware of, but I think that's great to see, especially with Blair being a former Falkirk Academy player himself.
Yeah.
And yeah, long may it continue. And the more we hear about it, the better. And I think it's fantastic to see it relaunch. But it will be even better when we start seeing, eventually, when we start seeing players come through into the first team squad as well.
Yeah, it'd be great. Can't wait for that to happen. We mentioned Scott Arfield renewed his deal, which was brilliant to see. But we've got two new signings that we can talk about right now. The first two in the door in our quest to get into the Premiership and stay in the Premiership. And the first is a former Celtic goalkeeper, Scott Bain. Ross, what do you make of that?
Really, really strong signing. Really strong signing. So I can't recall where John McGlynn said this. It could have been in a media interview. It might have even been in Behind the Wall when he came along to our event in February. But I do recall him saying, if and when we are promoted, we need 5 or 6 Premiership quality players to join the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Bain is definitely in that mould. He is a very experienced goalkeeper. I have absolutely no idea whether he will be the first choice goalkeeper or not. I certainly think he will do the world of good from an experience perspective with Nicky and Owen and Jamie, who's still there as well. But I think he is someone who definitely adds the Premiership quality. If that's a criteria of John's, he definitely does that.
He certainly brings absolute wealth of experience, played in the Champions League. My thing is, I heard them doing an interview yesterday. I don't think he comes if he knows he's not going to be number one. So you think, well, an experienced goalkeeper like that, maybe there's a fight on during the League Cup for the Gloves.
I think there's a fight on there.
Nicky's been Mickey's been absolutely outstanding. I think we've talked about the podcast before. I can't remember. Maybe the Partick this will get a go at the end of the season, but I think it was more Tom's fault than it was Nicky's. But you look back at any goal Nicky's conceded, and you can never say that was Nicky's fault. If whenever you ever come on the podcast, said that Nicky was at fault for that. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's up to Nicky. It's up to, if Scott Bain's there to put the pressure on, Nicky's got to raise his game up, and that'll really help him, bring him on as a goalkeeper as well.
It really will, yeah. And I saw a lot of people saying, oh, will this mean Jamie Steadon goes out on loan? However, I believe in the Premiership, teams do tend to carry 3 goalkeepers for the reason in the Premiership, you can't, there is no option of signing any goalkeepers outside of the windows. So you need to
didn't realise that.
Yeah, so the 7-day, the emergency goalkeeper loan you can do, that's not applicable in the Premiership. So I think we will carry Scott Bain, Nicky Hogarth, and Jamie Sneddon. And you would assume Owen Hayward might end up going out on loan.
Yeah, like he did, because his loan spell at Dumbarton was called because he got injured last season. So hopefully he gets Owen out and gets some experience. Brian Graham is the other sign that we've brought in. I think there was a lot of talk, a lot of rumours. I'd got told a few weeks ago it was a done deal. I was like, I don't believe it until it actually happened. But Brian Graham, in for an undisclosed fee, still had a year to go on his Partick goal thistle. But you understand that if it must be a very hard situation if, he has been manager or co-manager with Mark Wilson and then not getting the manager's job. It must be a very difficult situation for him. And, as Championship top scorer last season, is probably someone that, that focal point, that 9, that brings experience and hopefully will get his a few goals in the Premiership. I'm hoping it's kind of Owen Coyle vibes. That's what my dream is. It's kind of, it gives off that kind of Owen Coyle vibes back in the day.
Yeah, no, totally agree, John. And I'm really excited to see what he's going to do in a Falkirk shirt. He's that guy who you love to hate if he's in the opposition.
The Ultras are going to have to stop some of the songs they were singing about them last season.
Obviously, we on our socials, I think we said, so that's a bit awkward when we shared the video of him walking off after he's sending off. And I think it's my fingers that are singing like that to him. But I think, so going back to John's criteria about Premiership level quality, the guy has got goals in him. He's proven that in the Championship. He's also proven that in the Premiership. He's scored goals in the Premier League before. And the big thing for me is he's worked with John and Paul. Now, you've heard John talk about Brian Graham a few times now on socials in the last week or so. He is someone who he knows is a very good trainer. He will bring players on around him. And the big thing is, in the Premier League, strikers are the hardest position to fill, and we've done it. And I think he's going to be brilliant for Ross McKeever, Big Barney Stewart, and also Gary Oliver, and anyone else who's going to be playing in that role. I think that is a brilliant piece of business, and it could well be end up being our best positional signing, because it is such a hard role.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, it's obviously wait and see if Brian can get up to that level. I've seen a lot of people on social media saying he's a dressing room disruptor, you know, and that sort of stuff. But John wouldn't bring in someone. And if he is, I'm sure John has control of that situation, because I guess you've got, if those stories have emerged about that, you've got to remember he was working under sort of Chris Dillon, who isn't an experienced manager. So maybe he took advantage of that, who knows? But John certainly, I don't think, would bring in a player like that if he knew he was going to disrupt the group.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. As I said, he's worked with him before. He knows what he's all about. He'll know his character. And I genuinely don't get the vibe. I think Brian Graham will look at his stature, his age as well. He wants to make the most of this season in the Premier League. And it's not for me to say that he's not got any more seasons in him. But you never know.
He's got a year option.
He has got another year option as well. Listen, he may well finish his football career for Falkirk in the Premier League. And if I'm being honest, if he's still kicking a ball at 39 in his second year scoring goals for Falkirk, I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, I've met Brian. He's done Super Scoreboard on a couple of occasions. Not a bad word to say about him. You know, you can tell he's fit as a fiddle. I think he's got one of these mad body fat that he's just got no body fat on him at all. He obviously takes care of himself at the age he is as well. But I haven't met him a couple of times. Can't say anything bad about him. Always comes across a really nice guy, really talkative. So hopefully, you know, his influence, his experience in the dressing room is going to be a big, big plus for Falkirk. And hopefully get us some goals as well.
Indeed.
Looking forward to seeing Brian in action, hopefully at the Stirlingshire Cup, you never know. Right, okay then, we're back for a mid-season chat because we thought, hey, why not? Let's speak to one of the dads of the back-to-back champions, shall we? And he's not just any old dad. This dad played for Scotland, he played for Chelsea, he played for Motherwell, Rangers, but more importantly, of course, he's Brad Spencer's dad, isn't he? So welcome back to Falkirk Daft, or welcome to Falkirk Daft for the first time. It is John Spencer.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good, I feel really bad, John, because obviously, how many caps did you get for Scotland? How many goals?
Do you know what? I got 14 caps. I don't think I get near the goals. It was a good experience. Just never had the opportunity to find the back of net, which was a big disappointment. But as I say, found the net in many other games, which was nice.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we've got you on and we're just desperate to talk about Brad, you know. But, let's talk about, obviously, you know, you touching your career as well, John, because, you know, not many. We've had a couple of our own legends, Ken McAllister played for Chelsea, Joe McLaughlin played for Chelsea. Well, you wouldn't have crossed paths with them at any point. You would just probably just been a bit too young.
I went there probably about 3 or 4 years after Kevin McAllister. When I first went to Chelsea, I was in a rented accommodation, and Joe McLaughlin, believe it or not, had a property over in Hemel Hempstead. And it just all been refurbished. They had a flood in the place, refurbished, and he was looking to rent it out. So me and my missus, we rented that out for about a year and a half from Joe. Yeah, right. I know Joe well, yeah. I actually didn't know that he played for Falkirk.
Yeah, he came back up road. Very classy defender. Steve Clark, you would have played with though.
Yeah, I played with Clarkie for a number of years. Good lad. He obviously, he's went on and did very well as a football manager and a coach, under a little bit of pressure, as most managers are in the game after they don't get, you know, a couple of wins and successive games. So it's a tough industry to be involved in, but he's certainly done well, got us to national championships and made the country proud, but he's under a wee bit of pressure at the moment, negativity.
John, taking you back, how did the move come about to get you over to the MLS?
Do you know what? Actually, when I was at QPR, I had a teammate who was a goalkeeper, a big guy called Jürgen Sommer. He was American internationalist.
I remember him.
Great lad. Me and him became great friends. And in 1996, I believe that was the year I went to Queen's Park Rangers. So 96, I think, was the first year of Major League Soccer.
Okay.
And we got chatting, obviously, and he told me, you know, it's a great league, it's expanding, etc. And I'd always been going there with the family holidays, etc. I was going to say vacation there, but I don't want to get slaughtered by the Falkirk fans calling it a vacation. So I used to go to Florida on holiday every year and had great times. So I said to Big Jorgen, I want to go and play over there, you know, near the end of my career, I wouldn't mind going. And he said to me, they'll never buy you, they don't pay transfer fees for players, so you have to become, he called it the bossman back then.
Oh yeah.
You need to get on a bossman ruling and then get over there on the free. So, you know, fast forward that 5 years or something, I ended up and renegotiated my out at Motherwell because I had offers to go to MLS and I'm over to two teams. I'm over to San Jose Earthquakes at that time. I had a couple of days there and then went and trained in Colorado with the Rapids and fell in love with the city of Denver and the mountains and the snow. And decided that was going to be the best place for us to go and live and play.
From Bells Hill to Colorado, eh?
No, I'm not a Bells Hill boy. I think Gary McAllister was a Bells Hill boy.
I just thought when you were at Motherwell, you asked you did a
deep. Yeah, I don't want to claim Bells Hill. You know, the Gorbos is, I guess, a step down for the Gorbos.
You so. Immediately distance yourself from that, John. I noticed that. I'm not Bells Hill. I'm not, honestly.
Yeah, no. We usually got there and battered a few teams right and off in that area.
But Motherwell in the Colorado Rapids. So obviously, Brad was he born in the States then?
No, Brad was born in London.
Right. Okay.
Brad, my two older kids, Chantelle, she lives now. She's in Dubai at the moment. Living in Dubai. Both of them were born in London. But my youngest boy, he's American born. He was born in Texas, so he has the dual citizenship, which is it'll be good for him. In the future, doesn't see it at the moment, but it'll be good for him in the future. So, no, Brad was London born.
Oh, that's a shame. I was going to start the campaign for the USA team. If Scotland, then you're looking at him.
Nah, he's as I say, he's a London. He used to be a Chelsea supporter, and then very quickly when we were in the States, it was the year that Arsenal went invincible.
Oh yeah,
and it was the first year that Fox Soccer, which was the big, it was like Sky Sports over there. They started playing all the Premier League games, so he fell in love with the Henrys, the Ashley Cole, that type of team, and changed his allegiances from Chelsea to Arsenal. And I did warn him. I said, son, you're going to have a lot of years winning nothing and being very disappointed with your team, and he never listened to me. So he's missed out in the best years that Chelsea had.
That's true. I think he may as well be. He's in good company because obviously we've went a long time not winning much, George. So, however, it is thanks to Brad and the rest of the boys that we are sitting here with three big smiles on our faces, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. As I said to you, I don't know where you want to start with this journey, but getting into that stadium, the last game of the season there, I can honestly say to you, I've been involved in football for over 25, 30 years. I think it was the most nervous I've ever been going to watch a football game.
Really?
And it was almost like my first game of football that I'd ever seen in 55 years. And it wasn't because I didn't believe in the group. I felt it was almost like exterior motives or energies were stopping us from getting over the line, because if you looked at the actual like last four or five games, we actually didn't play poorly, and it was like every single mistake was killing us and we were getting punished. And I thought to myself, and then obviously we go a goal down in the first, what was it, 6-7 minutes? That's and it. I'm thinking, this is the impossible has become impossible. So I don't know if you might touch on it later on in the podcast.
Fair, that is where we were going to start anyway, is about the nerves and that. Because obviously it's bad enough for us sitting in the stadium every single week. And it must be difficult from afar sometimes hearing what's going on and watching it on Falkirk TV as well. But I think that night in the stadium, you hit the nail on the head, John. It was the nerves to the expectation that we're going to do this. And then I've never seen scenes when the second and third, even the first goal, actually, I've never seen scenes like it in the Falkirk Stadium when the goals went in.
To be honest with you, Ross, as I said, we had some family, we had really good friends up for London. He's a big Spurs fan. And Steve was sitting to my left-hand side, and he's always doing well at the book. He's always online gambling, etc., and winning here and there. And he's a big mathematics guy, you know, and it's 91, and I don't gamble. And he was talking to me during the game, and I kid you not, I just couldn't understand a word he was saying. My stomach with nerves, even at 3-1 up,
Yeah.
I actually was still sitting thinking if something goes wrong here, because what had happened in the previous games. And as I said to you, I was up at the Wraith game and
Yeah.
we were absolutely in cruise control mode without playing anything near our level. I thought we're cruising. And then obviously the decision goes against us, we get the red card. And it was just, again, it was like the energy was sucked out the stadium. And we all know how that result went in that game. But as I said to you, when the final whistle went, I went down to see him. And it was about 35 minutes after the game, I turned around to my mate Steve and I was like, how did Livingston get on? So to go from being a professional from 15 years of age to 55 years of age, standing in a stadium in 1,000 pieces inside the stomach.
Yeah.
It was like I'd never ever been involved in football my whole life.
I was going to say, John, I mean, you were involved in the FA Cup final. I mean, your nerves must have been shredded before going into a match like that. Did you have any advice to pass on to Brad, to pass on to the players going into the match?
No, to be honest with you, like when I got to watch him before the game, I think when he was at Wraith, when he was a wee bit younger, I would try and maybe give him a wee bit more advice. But I think at his age now and the way he's performed over the last couple of years, I think he's kind of I wouldn't say cruise control, but he's in a groove of he knows what to do, he knows how to prepare. Obviously, after the game, he'll say to me, "What do you think?" And I'll give him pointers. I was never ever one of them dads. It was like, you need to F and do this, and you better, you know. I was never that. It was, and even with my youngest, it's like my message to him was always, listen, if you want to go and give it a go and try and become a footballer, then it's totally down to you. I said, but if you're going to do it, then you've got to give it everything you've got, because if you don't, you're going to fall short and you won't make it. So I think going back to it, no, it's the players are on their own journey, the same as my own sons, they're on their own journey. You can only give them a wee bit of tips and that, but at the end of the day, once you step over the white line, it's down to the players to
That's right.
perform.
John, you mentioned there about obviously PFA Player of the Year, loads of Falkirk Club Awards, Supporters Awards. Is this the best you think he's ever played in his career so far?
Ross, I will go back to, I think it was John McGlynn's last year at Raith Rovers, and to be honest with you, I thought they were the best team in the championship for a couple of years, bar Hearts came down and Hearts won it.
Yeah.
I think they were the best team in the championship when the Kilmarnock went up. I think if you looked at both them teams, they were just short of a number nine. We kept on losing Louis Vaughan to knee injuries, big injuries, and the team suffered from not having an out-and-out number nine, as most teams do. I think he then broke his foot and his leg in quick succession, and to be honest with you, he was playing at a similar level. And then when he came back, obviously they let John McGlynn go, which I thought was massive mistake. And I think they'll look back in that now and go, we should at least give him another season. But you know, it's been to Falkirk's benefit, obviously. So I think that he was playing at that level. But what's happening now is I think he's came over that injury period. He's came to a club that he feels loved by the staff, and he feels a tremendous connection with the supporters. And I think when you've got that connectivity with the fans, the players, the staff, you can go to special places, as we've seen over the last 2 years. I've said to Swinney a couple of times, James Swinney, that if you actually take away before Hibs get that good run this year and Aberdeen before they won the cup, out with Rangers and Celtic, was there a better positive feeling around any football club in Scotland? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
You know,
Absolutely. You've mentioned that special feeling before on social media posts about how the club's just kind of everything. It's like that. It's not a vicious circle, it's a virtuous circle. Everything's just going in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And this is, I think, is the message that I would kind of like to get across as well. I had this similar situation in Portland when I became the head coach in Major League Soccer at the Portland Timbers. And the first year was euphoria. Like, everybody just wanted the fans wanted tickets. Everybody wanted a jersey. And we nearly get into playoffs, which not many new teams do. And the second year, we never started off well. And it was like big cloud of negativity. And I will say to the young supporters, because the ultras, I tell you what, at the club have made the atmosphere electrifying at times. And there are a lot of young kids in there, right? They've only seen this team winning. And then when you start, because next year's going to be different. We're getting up to the elite level in the country. Yeah. So it's going to be different next year. And there's going to be times where, who knows, this team might hit the ground running again. But they might hit the ground and they'd be like, oh, it's a wobble here. We've got to adjust to the pace. We've got to adjust to the strength. Who knows? Because I've not played in that Premier League. So we don't know what they're going to face. But if they take a couple of losses, it can't be going back to the mentality of...
Yeah.
Because listen, I'm on social media and I follow a lot of the Falkirk stuff. After the Partick Thistle game, Ross, there was a lot of negative stuff.
There was.
A lot of negative stuff. And I know people, and do you know what? I don't think it was for not loving the team.
No.
I think it was the thought of not getting over the line.
Yeah.
Because if you'd have said to the fans that were maybe tweeting these things, what was that, 70 games ago, we're going to be in the position of getting over the line into the Scottish Premier League, a lot of these people would have went, no way.
No, exactly.
You know, and I think if you go to the, I think, it, who was the first game of the season? Was it live on TV against Queen's Park?
Queen's Park, yep.
Friday night?
Yep.
And it's Stephen McGinn, right?
The new coach? Yeah.
Do you remember what he said?
He said he thought Falkirk were going to win the league, didn't he, that night?
They interviewed him, and I was sitting down here watching it on BBC, and I was like, easy up, Tiger. I'm going, I was like, this team's just got promoted. But fair play to him. He knew what that squad was. And I said this to a few people. When I watched, I'd seen a little bit of League One when Brad was in there with Wraith. But getting into the League One, getting into the Championship, it's a different kettle of fish, right? And I thought to myself, fair play to him. He knows the quality. That group was a Championship team in League One.
Mm.
It went into the Championship, and lo and behold, it's a Scottish Premiership team in the Championship.
Yeah.
That's what I think of this group. And to be fair to the gaffer, he must have seen it working with them. Like, he must have known that these guys are capable of kicking on. And I think they're capable of kicking on again.
I was going to come to that, John. Obviously, you've been a coach, manager in your own right. Looking up into the Premiership, you've probably watched a lot of Scottish Premiership football as well, and haven't seen Falkirk this season. Do you think there's areas that we will need to strengthen to retain our Premiership status next season?
I think that every team has to evolve, Ross. John, I think every team has to evolve. I think you always... Listen... Go through the group. We need to get more out of the goalkeeper, right? We need to get more out of the right back, the two centre backs, the left back. Everybody next year needs to bring an extra 10, 15, 20% on the pitch, right? See off the pitch. How much are you willing to sacrifice and change your life? And don't prepare, and it's no disrespect, don't prepare like it's the Championship.
Yeah.
Prepare mentally, physically, nutritionally. How are you preparing in order to be an excellent player in the Scottish Premier League? Because if you go through the players and you look at the bottom half of the Premiership, do you fear anybody?
Not really.
Think about it. I mean, we played Hearts in the Cup at home.
Yep.
And we played Dundee United, I think, was that once or twice?
We played them the last two summers. But last summer, we beat them in the League Cup group.
We played them in League One, right? Took four or five of them, and they went up from the Championship.
Yeah.
Right? And then beat them last summer, right, in the Cup. And let's be fair, if you're actually watching the game as a neutral, and that's what I do when I watch a game, I watch the players, and I don't just sit and watch Brad. I watch the team as a whole. And I looked and I was like, them two performances, them two games that were spoke about against Premiership teams,
yeah,
it was a footballing lesson.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, let's not make no bones about it. It was a footballing lesson. And so what I would be looking at as a coach is I'm saying, we have the ability, like we showed at Parkhead for 65, 70 minutes until Big Ross got injured. We had the ability to match the two Premiership clubs, batter them, played at Celtic for 72 minutes, and you know what? Up until the injury, we were in control of the game. Right? Now, I've had this discussion with people, not argument, I've had this discussion, they went, well, Celtic played their reserves. And I went, okay, how many of the Celtic players that started that day get into other Premiership teams?
Almost every other team. Yeah, exactly.
Right, so the argument gets blown out the gets blown out the water. So what I would say is, we definitely have the ability for 90 minutes to compete. Do we have the ability for 90 minutes times 36 games, 38 games, for to compete? That's where the players have to make the decision. Do we really want to kick on? Right? Because the manager's top-notch. I don't care what you say. His assistant is top-notch. Right? I've watched these guys for Rafe and their style of play, their brand of football, and people say they play the right way. I don't believe in you play the right way. You play the way that is best for your team with the best tools to get the best out of your players to win games. It just happens to be we play a style of football that is fantastic to watch, and we win football games playing that way. And I think if you're honest, we played a couple of games this year, or this past season, that didn't really suit our style of play.
Yeah,
and we didn't look anywhere near as effective. So the team's been built, the way John built and Paul built it at Wraith has been built the exact same way at Falkirk. It's a footballing machine. And I don't know if you remember, a couple of the boys were having a, have a laugh with me at the end of the season there, because I called them the Barca Bairns.
I saw that.
And it was a wee bit of tongue-in-cheek. But the actual style of football and the bravery at times building out for the backs, it takes bravery. And we've done it, I think, with a palm, and I think we've been magnificent. Over the course, I think we've been a magnificent football team to watch for 2 years, regardless of their level.
John, see, up until this podcast, I was thinking, if we could survive, right? However, the last 5 minutes has said to me, I think the SPFL need to get blue and white ribbons ready.
Champions League.
Come on.
Absolutely. John, you as a player obviously went through pre-season. The boys are currently in pre-season. It's probably a bit different from your days, John, how pre-season's moved on, but do the players, are they just itching to get back with the ball at their feet at this point, or is it all about, you know, fitness, and do they appreciate that as well?
I think it's a wee bit different now, Ross. For the first 10, 12 days of pre-season, we never seen the ball. So it was more of a like just run, rabbit, run for the first 10, 12 days. I think that obviously now the game's evolved a wee bit, different methods, different methodologies, and I believe just from seeing, you know, speaking to Brad, they've been doing some running, obviously, which is needed, and they've been getting the ball out as well. So they've had a good break, thankfully, because, you know, you went into the playoffs, you're into June playing, and then it's a quick turnaround and you're back. So the boys have had a good rest, obviously, great season behind them, good rest. I would imagine, Ross, that they must be desperate to get back, because there's a lot of them boys, I don't think, you mean, please correct me, that there's not many of them played in the Premier League so far, has there? Consistently played in Premier League.
Other than Scott Arfield and obviously Scott Bain, who has came in from Celtic, I don't think you could say the rest of the squad have had any sort of long run at Premiership football. I would need to check Brian Graham. I know he's played in the Premier League, but probably you couldn't say...
Yeah.
Consistently for 10 years, you know. So,
yes,
you're right, they will be itching. They will be itching. And obviously, these preseason games coming up will be a bit of a flavour. Do you think playing the League Cup in July is far better these days, John, than like sort of meaningless kickabouts? Do you think that suits Scottish football versus maybe the English counterparts? They just play kickabouts and friendly games, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the teams, they drive up and down the country. I quite like it, because I think it could be, you know, a cost-effective thing as well for the clubs, because you're opening your gates, you're getting fans in, you're getting, you know, you're getting gate receipts coming in, which is good for the clubs to get, you know, that financial backing. Although, I mean, if you look at your club over the last couple of years, the fan base has been exceptional. You know, they turn up week in, week out, home and away, and they did. I went up to... I don't usually go to the away games. I went to Dunfermline, the early game in the season.
Yep,
I think
last August game.
Yeah, early away game. And we won, was it 2-1? I think
was it 2-1 or 3-1? I can't remember. Was it
Callum
Morrison scored the penalty?
PK, right?
Ross scored.
Ross scored the first one.
2-0, I think. Yeah, Ross McKeever and Callum.
Yeah, it was a penalty, wasn't it? Yeah, 2-0.
And I'll tell you something: the atmosphere was as good as I've been in any stadium. It really, really was. And I'll tell you,
in the away end,
I always go. I always give me the fans, as I say. Yeah. I'm not a shirt and tie, sitting director's box type of guy. I like to go and get in with the fans and and just experience the game that way. You know, as I say, I'm that part of my life at the present moment is done. I'm Brad's dad.
Great question is that then, John, have you sang the song about your own son?
Believe it or not, I'm a massive Bruce Springsteen fan.
Oh, fantastic. There you go.
And I seen him at Wembley about 6 months ago with a couple of the coaches from Barhead Boys Club. They came down and they said to me, listen, we've got a spare ticket. And I was like, listen, I'll meet you at Wembley. So I went to watch it. So when that song came on there, I was like, oh my God.
Were you singing the Brad version rather than...
Yeah, I was. Man. I have to say, you know, I look at my own career. And if you'd have told me I was going to play at Wembley 3 times, I was going to play for the national team, playing FA Cup finals, etc., I'd have said to you, no chance. But looking at my son's career, I think that when you become a father and your child does something, you know, and your kid does something, it hits you differently.
Yeah.
You know, so seeing him getting the success, it means much more to me than anything that I've achieved in football, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's not far away then, John. Match day one, the fixtures are out on Friday. In fact, they'll be out by the time this podcast probably goes out. You've got a couple of former teams that you played for up in Scotland, Motherwell, Rangers. Anyone you would like in match day one?
To be honest, it's easy to turn and say, you want the Old Firm, right? I think you would like a couple of the smaller clubs like ourselves, right? The ones that are hoping to finish in that top six. You would like to get a couple of games that you can maybe break yourselves in and get a feel for the pace of the game, hopefully a couple of home games. You know, to start off and to carry that momentum on from the Hamilton Accies game, the last game of the season. So it would be nice. Hopefully it's not an away game at one of the Old Firm. It's a tough place to go first two or three games of the season, especially when they're all charged up and, you know, 55,000-60,000 people in the stadium. So it would be nice to get an easier tie and to see how we adapt a wee bit to the league. But you'll only know that over the first 5 or 10 games.
Of course.
I keep flitting between, as you said, John, you want maybe sort of like a home game against a fairly similar team, like your Kelly or Motherwell or something. But then I know we can't play Celtic because Celtic will be at home with the flag and everything. And we should be at home raising the flag as well. But I don't know, there's a small part of me that just wants to get Rangers at home and get that done.
Well, I must admit, that game at Celtic Park this year, you know, 60-odd minutes when Yatesy gets the second one, and it's into second half, and I'm thinking, I think it was about 55, 60 minutes, and I said to my missus, I was like, do you know what? You've got a chance here. He says, do you think? And I'm like, you know what? I think that when Ross got injured, was it his hamstring?
I think so.
I thought the big man was magnificent that day. As I say, I thought his hold-up play was excellent. He brought the team up the pitch when we were under pressure. You know, Celtic press you high and mob you in areas and flood the areas. And when we're having to bypass their midfield press, you know, holding the ball up, bringing us up the pitch, I actually thought we had a great chance. And then I think, you know, he came off and it was the first time that Gary Oliver went up front for us that day. Yeah. And, you know, it's an unusual position to play for Gary at that time. And lo and behold, obviously, you look at from where he went from there, that run that he went on, you know, playing as a false nine per se, he was magnificent as well. And I think that we're going to have to keep Big Ross fit and healthy this year, you know, because I think he's definitely got there. But he's got all the tools. And if you go through the team, you know, you look at your right back, left backs, good players. You look at the two, the seven and the 11 that we've got. Right, you know what Scotty's going to bring you. Scotty's going to bring you goals if he gets the chances in and around the box, one and two touch finishes. You know what Arthur was going to bring. He's done it his whole career and been fantastic at it. I'm looking at guys like Ethan and I'm looking at Miller on the other side and I'm saying, listen, 100% you guys have the natural ability to go and make an impact in that league. But when you step up to the top divisions in any country, you've got to have that belief in yourself. And that's where I see a lot of the players at the highest levels. They carry a swagger about them where, and some of them might not be the best players, but they carry a swagger believing that they belong in the Scottish Premier League. I think that if Ethan and Calvin can show that belief in themselves, I think they can make a massive impact in the Scottish Premier League next year.
Absolutely. We are all in agreement with that. John, you know, you've been a manager. What do you think the target is? Is the target just simply staying in the league, or do you aim higher than that?
Ross, I think it's very easy to get carried away and say, oh yeah, let's go top six. I think that you've got to get onto the pitch, see what we can produce consistently, and then reassess it after that first round of games and say, do you know what? You look what everybody else has got, who are we competing with?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going back to Dylan Tate. He's young. He's another year more experienced. He's got to come on again. You've got Yatesy, who I'm a massive admirer of. I think he's got great legs, great mobility, nice touch. I know he's played it right back in League One. I think his more natural position is probably in the centre of the pitch, but played there for the gaffer because they were struggling with injuries or whatever it was. But when he comes into the middle of the pitch, as he showed at Celtic Park that day, he gets a header. Great mobility. He's got the tools, the ability, the mobility to get around the pitch. And that's what you need in the middle of the pitch when you're playing at the best levels, the highest level. So you're looking at young players. Obviously, we've got Scotty, we've got Brian Graham, that are the kind of the older heads. But you're looking at this younger group starting, and the guys on the outside of the starting 11, they're all young. So they with that League One championship being part of that, and then built up into the championship win, back-to-back titles, they should have learned from that, gained a lot of confidence, and they shouldn't fear what's ahead of them. Because, as I said, I keep going back to it, Ross, John, these boys have the ability. And the people can turn and say, well, can Ross McIver score in the Premiership? And I'm saying, well, you know what? See, when you get chances in League One and you're pulling the ball down, first touch, shifting it, smashing it top corner, that's got nothing to do with the level you're playing at. That's you executing the action, right? So if you can do it on the football pitch, it doesn't matter. Well, if there's 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 in the stadium, that's your ability to do that and to execute on the pitch. So forget about levels. Because let's not be disrespectful to League One in the Championship. It wasn't like it was under-18s playing against under-12s where we were just powering through teams. We showed a tremendous amount of quality on the pitch over a 24-month period.
100%.
Absolutely.
I know I've said this 10 minutes ago. I'm ready now. I just want the first game to come. I'm ready. Get through these friendlies, get through the League Cup. I just want match day one now. And I think you're right there, John. Do you not think there'll be... whilst they are young and people will say, oh, they've not got the experience, they also might not have the fear. So, they don't know what it's like to go and play Ibrox Park. Well, they know Parkhead, but they don't know what it's like to go to Tynecastle, Ibrox, Aberdeen. It's all new to them. And I think they'll be absolutely loving the fact that they're going to these places.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you're getting the opportunity to go and play in the top division. That's what everybody wants to do, is compete in the best division in whatever country you're playing in.
Yeah.
But as I said to you, I think that I don't think these boys, it's going to come down to belief and confidence. The one thing, the bigger difference will be is in League One in the Championship, when we used to give up a wee half chance here or there, right? And maybe Big Nicky pulls off a great save in the 6-yard box or whatever, you know, point blank saves. It's possible that we might not get away with that when you step up the division. So the little mistakes, giving the ball away or whatever, or giving chances away, there's a concentration and the focus. But if you've got the belief and the desire with that concentration, I think we've got a chance. I really, really do. I think we've got a great chance. And the fans, with the backing that we've got at home, I think we're going to have a good home record for sure. And then it's down to our away record, which has been great the last couple of years. How many points can we pick up on the road?
John, you when you're getting back into management and coaching, because I'm hyped now after listening to you. Now I'm like Rocky, I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely 100% ready to go. You need to get yourself back up here and into management.
Yeah, I'm coming back up. As I say, I'll be back up hopefully in the next month or so to base myself there. So we'll see what's open, Ross. If you know, I'm always open to coming back into the game. It's always the other way around. Is the game open to bring you back in? You know, so if there's something there that's, you know, really, you know, tickles my fancy and it's a good club, then I would certainly look at it, mate.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, listen, before we let you go, John, something we always do in Folker Daft is we do this thing called Folker Daft Versus, which you may have seen, and today is no different. And I have a set of questions here, which is all about Brad.
What's going on here?
This is all about Brad.
Hold on a minute. Are you putting me up against John Spencer?
I am putting you up against John Spencer. So the pressure is actually on probably more John Spencer than John McAnally.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. How much? So you're trying to say, I know Brad better than his dad?
Yeah, listen, how big a Falkirk fan are you, John McAnally?
Oh, here we go. Listen, I've already put John McGuinn to bed when we did this live at Behind the Wall. I'm sure I could put John Spencer to bed.
You're under real pressure here, Ross. Here we go.
Right, so, John McAnally, do you want to write your answer down?
Yep.
And Mr. John Spencer, if you let John write his answer down and then we'll come to you for your answer, okay? So we've got five questions, all about Brad. I feel this could be a new section of the podcast, all about Brad. Here we go. So question number one. So who did we sign Brad from in the summer of 2023? So that might be a wee easy one to kick us off. So before you shout out, John McAnally, you get your answer written down.
Well, my pen's not working, but I hope you can read that. It says...
Wraith. Well, all right. You were meant to let John go.
Yeah, I know.
You're saying Wraith. Okay, John, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm going to go Wraith. Can I jump in here?
Of course you can.
Do you know that you had the chance to sign Brad about five seasons before that when he came to pre-season when there was another manager in charge? He came there and they didn't fancy him.
Was it Paul Hartley or was it Ray McKinnon?
It was Paul Hartley, I think. Yeah, Paul, I think.
Oh, there's a surprise. There's a surprise. Paul Hartley ruining something, honestly.
So maybe it was fate and destiny that he was meant to come there and pull on that blue jersey one day, you know?
Good. So, I'm glad he did it now and not with Paul Hartley, that's for sure.
I think I remember that. Did he not play as a trialist for Falkirk against Aberdeen? We played it somewhere different. It was like Arbroath or something like that.
Not sure if it was an Aberdeen game, but he went down to Wales. They went down to Wales in pre-season.
Yeah,
he went down on that trip, and by all accounts, I think it was the boy that was the kit man at Falkirk. His dad came up to me after the League One Championship night on the pitch, and he said to me, "I seen your boy training for a week down in Wales, and he came on pre-season. We should have signed him." He said, "I've always followed his career since we never signed him because he did very well." But listen, as you say, it's very easy to blame Paul. There was maybe other things going on at the club, financials or whatever, and they couldn't make the deal happen. But as you say, I'm a big believer in fate and destiny, so it was quite possibly that was in his path.
It's turned out well.
Is that going to help me with the questions, Ross?
No, I don't think it will. However, the good news is the score is one each. Okay.
Right.
So question number two. So Thursday the 15th of June 2023 was the exact date that Brad signed. But who else did we sign that day in a triple announcement? So John Spencer looks very confident here. John McAnally, you do not look very confident here. John, you write yours down before, but don't show us just yet.
Right. Okay. I've written. Okay. Mine's them.
Okay. John, tell us who you think the other two players were.
Was it Calvin and Tom Lang?
You're saying Calvin and Tom Lang, John McAnally?
And Calvin and Alfie. Oh no! It's not Alfie. It's not Alfie. We signed him.
Mr. Spencer takes the point. It is currently 2-1.
That's right. That's good. Oh, Jesus.
John. Right. Yeah, there we go.
Ross, I'm going to follow up with that. Right. I said to Brad, he told me that they had a chance to sign Tom, and obviously I'd watched Tom playing at Wraith with Brad.
Yeah.
And I said to Brad, "Brad, you got to convince him to come." I said, "Because I think he'll be the best central defender in League One. And I think if you get him, you go on and win the championship.
Brilliant.
So I thought Tom was magnificent that year. It just the last couple of, I think the last was it last month with his knee. He pulled out and had to get the surgery, but I thought he was tremendous that full season.
And he's a handsome bastard as well, John.
Oh, he's absolutely gorgeous. That's the only reason I follow him on Instagram. I see his pictures in Florida, all his muscles everywhere, and I go, my God, what a big handsome guy he is.
He is, to be fair.
Right, okay, next question.
He's a great lad.
Fantastic. So, 2-1. Question number three. How many goals did Brad score last season? So, how many goals did Brad score last season? So, John McAnally, you write your answer down.
Is that legal?
League or...
I'm going... Yes.
Yeah, from the BBC website.
That is league goals.
It's right, league. Okay. Oh no, is it that? No, I'm scoring that out. I think it might be that. Right, okay, I've written down.
You've got something written down. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Spencer, what are you saying?
I'm going for, I think it was 8 league goals.
You're saying 8 league goals, John McAnally?
I did have 10 there, scored it out and wrote 8.
It's a point each, so the score is 3-2 we're at now. Okay, okay. Well done. Question number 4. In what match did Brad score his first goal last season? So what was his first goal last season? And it's league goal.
Oh, I think I got it.
And John Spencer looks really confident again.
No. Right, I've written something down.
So, John Spencer, what is your answer here?
Was it Morton?
You're thinking it was Morton?
I've written down Thistle.
Thistle.
And it's now 3-3. It was.
Oh, come on!
I'm sure it was a cutback from Keelan Adams, no?
It was indeed. It was the second goal.
Hendo scored the cracker, and Brad scored an absolute perler as well. Yeah.
Hendo scored.
They were down to
10
men.
Yes, that's right. It wasn't Brian Graham that time. I'm trying to think who got sent off.
No, it was little blonde-haired midfielder.
Was it Ben Stanway?
Yes, it was. He dived, and then he tackled someone. Didn't he?
About 2 minutes after he dived, right, okay, this is the decider.
It's 3-3. Question number 5, then. In what match did Brad score his last league goal last season? So in what match did Brad score his last goal last season? So, John, you write yours down.
All right, okay.
Have you got some written down?
I have now.
Okay. Mr. Spencer, what were we saying?
Was it Dunfermline? 1-0?
Going with Dunfermline 1-0. Okay. John?
Morton.
John Spencer takes the win. It was Dunfermline. 1-0. It was indeed a vital 6th-minute goal in the derby. Well done. Well done.
To be fair, I was up against Brad's dad, so I thought the insider was probably going to be what was his date of birth or something like that.
John, are you sure you're a Falkirk fan at heart?
Can I just say, I want to ask you, I know the game's done, but I need to ask you the tiebreaker because it was class. So Brad famously played every minute of every game last season. But how many minutes did he actually play? That was going to be the tiebreaker.
Jesus.
That would be about 3,000.
So I'm trying to do the maths in my head here.
About 3,400 or something.
You're going 3,400. John McAnally, what are you thinking?
You're trying to calculate it, John.
11,000 minutes.
11,000, right, you're way out. George Spencer takes the win again. It was 3,960, which is 44 games that he played.
Wow.
Oh, okay, so I thought you were doing the league games.
Oh no, it was every minute because he played 8 cup ties as well.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, John, listen, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk Daft. Really, really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you at the games, maybe up behind the wall for a wee Falkirk Daft venom.
Definitely, guys. Listen, thanks very much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure, and you know, long may we get this success this year as well.
Fingers crossed. John Spencer, thank you for joining us in Falkirk Daft.
Thank you.
This is Falkirk Daft.
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
What a lovely man, Brad's dad there, John Spencer. We could have talked about a lot about John's own career because he had a phenomenal career. You know, when you hear him talking about it, he was in the FA Cup final when they got beat off Man United, Chelsea. Cup Winners' Cup semi-final we played in as well, so he had an amazing career. I had to Google it when I said it at the start. I was positive he'd scored for Scotland. I know he'd had a lot of caps. He was at Euro 96 as well with the team as well. But yeah, great career, and obviously passed that on to his son, and we're reaping the benefits of the good Spencer genes.
We are indeed. And if Brad is looking to figure out what he's going to look like in about 30 years' time, it's exactly like his dad. Because his dad just looks exactly like Brad, doesn't he? Listen, yeah. I know I just said it there. I think that was one of my favourite podcasts we've done. I thought he was fantastic. And yeah, as you said, you could sit and listen to his opinion and take on Falkirk and football in general all night. And I don't know if he's up in Scotland by the end of July, but we should get him, try and get him at the Behind the Wall for the live gig as well. That would be class.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should have a new feature on Folk Dad, players' dads. We'll just get the dads on it. Miles Hogarth could come on then, couldn't he?
That's true. That's very
there you
true.
Go. Players' dads, it's a new feature. Talking about stuff that's going on with the podcast as well, at this point, I'll just tell you, little changes to the podcast for next season as well. You're not only going to get one episode of Folk Dad a week, you're going to get two episodes of Falkirk Daft a week, one on Monday, one on the Thursday. The Monday looking back, doing some club news, all the usual stuff you're used to, and then we're going to concentrate the Thursday podcast at looking ahead, because sometimes we're recording these and we're going, Jesus Christ, that's about 2 hours now we've recorded, no one's going to listen to our shite for 2 hours. So we thought we'll split them up so you can have two doses of Falkirk Daft each week in your life. I'm sure you're delighted with that, but we just thought that will give you something to listen to towards the weekend as well when you're lacking Falkirk content. So yeah, we're going to split up the podcast. There is also going to be a Patreon available. And what is Patreon? I hear you say it's a little paid for subscription service. And on that, there'll be a couple of benefits. And also we're going to do a bonus podcast on that each month where we are going to do, as the kids say, the Falkirk, what is it? Not Dream Team, what do you call it in FIFA? Ultimate Falkirk Ultimate Team. We're going to do that once a month as well. So hopefully have you on board with that, and we'll have benefits as well, like first chance to get tickets for Falkirk Daft Lives and the like. But that's all coming in the new season. We look forward to it. And we look forward to another season with you guys on Falkirk Daft, as we thank once again for joining on as a sponsor. They've shook the hands. The deal has been done. Behind the Wall, back with us next season. Stay local, eat and drink global. And of course, the Falkirk Daft Venom, the world famous, I would like to say at this point. Influencers have had this drink. It's still on sale at the bar. So get yourself involved in that. And of course, Behind the Wall, they'll be running buses down to the ground and to the away grounds. That we'll give you details as we get them on that. But if you're looking for food, entertainment, Behind the Wall is a place to go. Behindthewall.co.uk. It was actually up there a couple of weeks ago with the wife. Had a lovely dirty fries. It was like fish and chip dirty fries. They were amazing.
Nice.
This weekend, if you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday, get yourself up there for the Daytime Garden Disco with DJ Slave and the delicious Disco Forklift Truck Mango IPA on draft. That is a brilliant pint, by the way. I will definitely be getting myself Disco Forklift Mango. Not for you, Ross, because you'll just stick on your tenants, absolute philistine. But see, the Mango IPA, you've got to try it. You would just sit and drink it all day. But that's going to be on draft in the beer garden. And then there's Johnny Cash tribute, amazing, on the 4th of July. Tickets are only £7.50. That I might get myself up. That'll be Johnny Cash. But yeah, all details behindthewall.co.uk. And as I say, Brian is our assistant manager at the Falkirk Daft versus the FFIT. He is getting all serious about it, Ross, isn't he?
Yeah, we had a very, very beneficial phone call today where we set up our starting 11. We talked about...
As long as I'm in it, that's all I'm caring. As long as I've been in it,
well, you'll find it soon. And we were talking tactics. We were talking about refreshments for the boys, sadly.
Well, it's a beer at half-time. It's a mango.
Sensible refreshments.
Jesus Christ.
And we were also talking about, we were doing our John and Paul thing, like what are you wearing, are we matching type things. So that was the conversation. But really looking forward to it. And as you said, John, behind the wall, we'll be running buses again next season. They're almost full for the League Cup away games. So if anyone is still looking for a seat for either the Brechin game or the Cove game, get in touch with the bar because there is only a few seats left.
Oh, that's good to hear. And we'll be having a couple of drinks after the match on Sunday, presumably at Behind the Wall.
We will.
Excellent news. That's what I do. So that's it, Falkirk Daft. Just a little mid-season taster, a wee catch-up with pals. Good to hear. Thank you for listening. We'll be back, hopefully. You know, if something massive happens, we'll have an emergency podcast meeting. But keep an eye on the socials for the details for Falkirk Daft Live 5 happening Behind the Wall at the end of July. We'd love to see you down there. It's been, the last four have been righteous. We expect much more of the same this time, and we'll hopefully have some great guests. One definitely confirmed, in fact, two definitely confirmed. Jamie Swinney can definitely reveal who's going to be at Falkirk Daft Live. We will reveal the two players over the next week or so, who's going to be joining us at Falkirk Daft Live. But get your tickets, they are on sale a week on Friday, or a week today, because this podcast goes out today. So that day is 27th of June. There we go. So keep your eyes on our socials for all that. Hopefully see you down at the stadium on Sunday. Hopefully a Falkirk Daft win, Ross. Your tactics better be good.
Listen, my pre-match speech, you'll be crying, but you'll be wanting to burst out the doors.
Oh my God, are you is this going to be like Al Pacino on Any Given Sunday?
I'm not gonna get it.
Oh my God.
All I'm going to say is we'll be pumped leaving that changing room.
Right, okay. So get yourself out to stay in 4 o'clock kickoff. We'll see you there. We'll hopefully see the Stirlingshire Cup match as well, which are on Saturday. And then it's into pre-season, then it's in the League Cup, and it's into the Stab League. Come on! Let's go. I'm so pumped up after John Spencer. But until we see you next time on Falkirk Daft or at the stadium, what did we say?
Expect unexpected. Monuments.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, We're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.